Hey there, Admissionado listeners, and welcome to another episode of The League of Extraordinary Applicants, the podcast where we chat about what it takes to create a winning application in today's super competitive landscape. I'm Cleo Handler.
And I'm Stephen Black. We're your official tour guides for this insider's journey. Each week, we tackle a specific topic, giving insight into each of our Ivy League experiences and the applications that got us there. Cleo, why don't you start off by telling everyone where you went to college?
Sure. I went to Yale. I graduated in 2012 with a double major in theater studies and psychology. And Stephen, I feel like I've never heard of the place where you went to college, but I don't know, maybe refresh my memory?
Yeah, most people haven't heard of it. The only people who've actually heard of it are the U.S. News and World Report rankings, since they ranked it one this past year. Just a little factoid. I went to Harvard. I graduated in 2007, and my major was visual and environmental studies with an emphasis on film studies and film theory.
Great. So last week, we covered the first three components of emotional narrative. We talked about having a strong introduction, a clear story arc, and lots of detail. This week, we'll dive into the last two, which are passion, and a sense of perspective or growth. Without these, the first three are actually pretty useless.
So yeah, last week we gave you an introduction to emotional narrative. This is writing a story with the intention of evoking strong feelings in the reader. You don't want to be dry. You don't want to be boring. You want to write a narrative that engages, that affects the reader's emotions. And we talked about last week, strong introduction, story arc, and detail, how important they are in this. But this week we're going to talk about the last two important things. The first one of those important things is passion, and more passion.
Great introduction. Thank you for that. And seriously, guys, this is so important. The main thing I want to say about this is if you don't care about what you're writing your essay about, the admissions committee won't either, and they'll be able to tell. They read hundreds of essays every single day, and it will be very obvious to them if you're writing something that sounds impressive but doesn't have a lot of actual heart or connection, you know, to something that you really care about.
Yeah, it's a good point. Picture this, I mean, that you're an admissions committee member and you're reading all of these essays and most of them are dry and boring and don't have passion. Then one comes along that has passion, it's going to suddenly engage you. Now let's just give a quick definition of passion. Passion is, it's a powerful emotion, you know, such as love, joy, hatred, or anger. But for the sake of the essay, you want that passion to be calculated, not over the top. You want to have feeling behind your words, but you need to truly care about what you're saying.
Right. And again, write about something that you really care about, not something that you think they might want to hear. It may sound like a subtle distinction, but it's really important.
Yeah, it's because when you write what you think somebody wants to hear, like if I'm forced to write an essay where I'm not quite interested in the topic, that doesn't have any passion, and that comes out as boring or flat. But then sometimes you get something where you're thinking you're writing what they want to hear, and you put too much passion into it, and you sound overzealous, disingenuous, or even borderline crazy.
Right, that's something that you want to avoid at all costs. But really, the main takeaway here is that you want to prove that you're an interested, driven, passionate, ambitious person who will add something unique to their campus, and not only to their campus, but to the world after you graduate. You want to convince them that you're a special applicant who's going to really do something interesting in your life and at their school.
Yeah, and the only way to convince them that you're this kind of applicant, really, and we can't overstate this enough, is with passion. It's the only way to truly engage the reader. And sadly enough, I mean, without passion, the three previous things we talked about, strong introductions, story arc, and details are useless.
Yeah, exactly. That pretty much brings us to our examples. I'm going to read an example that is not so great, and then we'll discuss why. So, drum roll, please.
Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba.
Thank you. Okay, as a representative of my school, I won the regional debate championships. There were over 200 other competitors, and I emerged victorious.
Wow, I mean, that
What do you
just
think about that?
sounds, oh my God, that sounds so flat.
Yeah.
You just described to me an awesome thing, and I don't care about it. You won over
Right.
200 competitors, and you're a representative of your school, and all you can say is that you emerged victorious. That's all you can say. I mean, that's all the passion you got, Cleo.
Well, let me try again. They announced my name as the winner of the regional debate championships. I couldn't believe it. This was the greatest moment in my entire life. I was incredibly happy and very, very proud of myself. I smiled, took a bow, and accepted the massive trophy.
All right. Now you're taking it in the other direction. Okay, you started off with no passion, and now you're telling me this winning a debate championship is the greatest moment of your life. It's a little overkill, and it's disingenuous. I don't know if I really believe that. Like, and come on, do you think it's a good idea to also say you're very, very proud of yourself?
What? You don't believe my false modesty?
No, I mean, and you got to tell me it's a massive trophy too. I mean, this is a little overkill. If
Right.
I'm an admissions committee member, right? I'm reading this over and I'm going, okay, this writer is a little prone to exaggeration, and they're really trying to oversell this, and therefore, yeah, I don't really believe it.
Okay, well let's hear you try.
Okay, let me dust off the old theatrical skills and see if I can't get a good example up in here. Okay, here we go. The auditorium went silent. First place, the announcer began, goes to Stephen Black. In the moment, it didn't even seem real. My teammate Cleo tapped me on the shoulder. They called you. Once the realization hit me, I was humbled by the honor. The other 200 competitors were excellent. Anyone was deserving of that award. As I ascended the stage, the memory of all the hard work it took to reach that point washed over me at once. I mean, I think besides great writing, that just
Wow.
deserves an
That
Oscar. That's just like, I mean, I think I
the
need to get into acting.
performance.
Yeah.
I think you do, and I think that was fantastic. It was exciting. You started right in the middle of it. I felt like I was there. You made me, you described it in a way that I felt like I was following along with you. It was very exciting. And it seems like you really truly care about it, but also you're humbled by the honor. You describe how fierce the competition was and how shocked and excited you were to have that honor. And I think that makes it a lot more believable and a lot more makes you seem like a more interesting person and someone I'd want to talk to, not someone I would be, completely dulled by,
Yeah,
as I may have been by the previous example that was very showy.
I mean that's generally I just that's the reaction that people have to me anyways. They're sort of feel, dulled by my presence, but so it's good to read an example like this where that's actually decent. But I mean I think yeah, I think you're right on. The writer in the case of this one is showing achievement with humility, and that goes a long way. I mean, saying how many other people deserved it, they didn't really believe it, and taking us also into the narrative. Those are huge, important things. I mean, giving it some of that detail is really helpful. And most of all, you can feel the passion coming through there. The writer saying things like, "The memory of all the hard work it took to reach that point washed over me." I mean, that's showing what's at stake, and that's showing that the writer has passion and has investment in the activity, and that's pretty huge.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's move on to perspective and growth. This is the final piece of the emotional narrative puzzle, the five-piece puzzle. And what we mean by perspective and growth is What have you learned by the end of the essay? That's the main question we're asking. And the answer is you should have learned something and you should have grown because first and foremost, your perspective and growth, it's the lasting impression. I mean, it's your conclusion. It's the what you leave the AdCom with after they finish your essay.
And I think that exactly, like Stephen said, what you leave them with should be a sense that you're a mature young person and that you're thoughtful and you're capable of introspection and of thinking about your own life in a complex way. And that's why we need this part of the essay.
Yeah, you're right. And a unique perspective and point of view and showing growth. I mean, it shows you're insightful and you've matured. There's not many 17 and 18 year olds who have reached a decent level of maturity, and you want to show that you have. You're ready. You're willing to dive into the next stage of your life, which is college, and you need to sort of prove that in the essay.
Yeah, exactly. I completely agree. It shows that you're getting ready to take the next step in your life, and also that you're someone who doesn't just see things in black and white. You know, maybe something that you thought was going to be a wonderful experience working at this, I don't know, working at a camp all summer was going to be so great. You were going to be fantastic at it, and it actually proves to be more challenging for you than you thought. And you didn't just run away or back down, but you grew as a result, and you realized that you know these things take hard work, and that life might not be so simple, but you're ready for the challenge, and that makes you seem like someone who would be a good candidate for acceptance, I think.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, when you think about it, when you think about your essay, I mean, think about it like as if it's a great movie. I mean, when you emerge from a great movie, you don't remember every single scene, you don't remember every single thing that the character has gone through in the movie, but you remember the most exciting scenes, you remember the story arc, and then you're left with the final perspective growth that the character has gained. When you finished watching, Forrest Gump, you don't remember necessarily every single little scene that Forrest has gone through and every little thing that's happened to him that's changed, but you know where he ended up. You know how he grew, you know how
Right.
he changed, you know what his emotions are at the end. I mean, the same is true with a great essay. That should be what you're left with, what you leave the reader with is that perspective and growth, and give them, and they should remember some of the highlights of your essay as well.
Right. I think that's so important, and it gives the whole essay a sense of structure, you know, and an arc. It's going from one point to another, and you're changing as a result. And without that, a lot of the other components that we talked about would be kind of rendered useless because it would just read more like a biography or, you know, the story of my life in detailed form, but you wouldn't actually change, and that would be pretty uninteresting.
Yeah, I mean, completely. That's, you want to leave the reader with detail and with everything else that we talked about, because at the end, if you just like Cleo said, if you leave them with just some dry sort of narrative, then I mean, you've sort of failed in proving your point. And so let's jump into two bad examples. And Cleo, you can tell me what's wrong with these aside from my acting. I know you're an experienced actress, but myself, I haven't really acted since I played the Scarecrow in The Wizard of Oz at summer camp. And yeah, I was 12 years old
Well,
then.
maybe I'll give you some pointers.
Okay.
I think for this first one, we want to emphasize the lack of growth.
Yeah, so imagine I ended an essay like this. My experience on the debate team was fantastic. I learned a lot and I became a better person because of it. I can honestly say that I would not be where I am today without my time spent on debate.
Nice work, Stephen. I could feel the dullness emanating from here.
It's what I do best.
Well, basically, I think we should point out that that is very vague, first of all.
Yeah, I mean it's vague. It's and a point that Cleo often makes, and she's made this, millions of times throughout our podcast, is that you need to show and not tell. And so how does this example, Cleo, how does it tell and not show?
Well, this is saying being my experience on the team was fantastic. I learned, I became a better person. I would not be where I am today without my time spent on debate. Like, those are all interesting statements, but I don't believe them because I don't have any evidence. If you showed me how it was fantastic, what you learned, how did you learn it? How did it change you? Why are you a better person? If you gave me some concrete examples, I might be able to get a better sense of it and it might seem more truthful. So I challenge you to take two, Stephen.
All right, let's try this again. Let's see. This time I know I've got it. I know I've got it with this one. All right. When the debate season ended, my record was 12-1. My previous year's record was 9-4. I won the trophy for most improved debater, and my name was put on a plaque in the school auditorium. Now, come on, Cleo, that's detail. I gave you detail, right?
You gave me detail, but you are still telling and not showing. I mean, the plaque in the school auditorium, okay, that's a step. That could be a juicy detail, but describe it. Is it hanging high above all the other plaques amidst the banners, waving in the breeze? Is it behind a glass case in the principal's office, and every time you pass by, you get a little jolt of joy and pride? Show me, Stephen. This is still just a list of achievements. What
Yeah,
happened internally? What was going on? What did you feel about it? How did you grow?
that's I mean you just hit on it right there. The what happened internally. That's because all these things are external, right? You're talking about your record, your previous year's record, the award you won, your name on the plaque, and what you're hinting at just there. When you walk by the plaque and you get butterflies in your stomach and whatever, that's giving some insight into what's going on inside of you. How are you feeling? Like all these external things don't tell me anything about your interior, life, what's going on within you. And that's important in the essay, and that's a missed opportunity. So why don't you take this opportunity right now, Cleo,
Right.
to show us how it's done, not only in terms of the acting sense, but in the terms of the essay writing sense.
All right. No pressure. When I joined the debate team as a freshman, I didn't expect much. Here's a good activity to put on my resume, I thought. Initially, I entered each debate aiming to win, wanting to decimate my opponents. As I progressed, I came to realize that it's not so much about winning, but more about honing a skill. I consider the one match that I lost this past year to be the single most transformative experience in 4 years of debate. The match was humbling, showing that even after 3 years of training, there is still much to learn. Thank
Excellent,
you. Thank
excellent.
you. I'm taking a bow.
The performance was top notch. The writing was top notch. I mean, I think that's what you want to hit in your conclusion. That's the sort of perspective and growth you want to show. I mean, what a mature attitude to say, look, here I had this mostly winning season, but I learned more from that one match I lost than from all the others I won. At that moment, as a reader, I'm going, wow, there's something interesting about this writer. There is something, there's something deeper than just the desire for victory, desire to achieve greatness, all those cliche things. There's something interesting here. And I sort of like that by the fact that you're foregrounding the loss, I'm actually considering the fact that you are so victorious and you learned a lot from your loss, even though you've won all those matches. So, I mean, that sort of hits on all cylinders, and that's really what we're looking for.
Right. And also I just want to point out one great detail here is the thought, here's a good activity to put on my resume. I think that's really honest. It's kind of funny. It shows us what this kid was expecting going in. And then the fact that he or she learned so much more that was unexpected, I think is a really great contrast.
Yeah, exactly. It's
So
that kind of honesty also that that will make you real in the eyes of the ad com. When you're saying, hey, I thought this was a good activity to put on my resume. And then, when you're flipping that at the end and saying what you learned is something different, I think the ad com is going to take notice of that, and they're going to appreciate your honesty, and they're going to be more likely to believe your ultimate conclusion as well. So I think well done, Cleo, on showing some nice perspective and growth, as well as your acting chops, which are far superior to mine.
Thank you very much. And now I'm going to move on and give a bit of a recap of what we've covered in the past 2 weeks. The last two podcasts that we've done on writing with emotional narrative, parts one and two. So I hope you all remember there are five components of emotional narrative that we've discussed. The first one is a strong introduction, a hook. The second one is a story arc with a beginning, a middle, and an end. Then we have lots of detail. And as we discussed today, number four, passion, passion, passion. And number five, a sense of perspective or growth. All the detail would be useless if you didn't show us what you have learned as a result.
So now that you're all experts on emotional narrative, you're ready to crank out the first draft of the essay. But you'll soon learn the most important lesson of all. Writing is rewriting. Treat it like a mantra. Next week, we'll talk about revising the essay, rewriting, and polishing it to make it shine.
We want to thank all of you for joining us on this episode of the League of Extraordinary Applicants. We hope that our advice gets you that much closer to achieving application success.
Please don't hesitate to email us with any questions, and we'll make sure to answer as many as we can in future episodes. Hit us up at podcast@admissionauto.com.
We're excited to hear from you. Questions, comments, feedback, whatever's on your mind. All right, Stephen, that's all for this week.
Join Cleo and me next time for another installment of the League of Extraordinary Applicants.